Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So yeah, Pastor Jerry and I were realizing that a lot of you probably don't know me, and that's cool. Like, I don't need to be known, but my wife Kathleen is her name. She and I, we've been at the East Campus mostly. Like, that's kind of like been our place. So I don't get to the West Campus that often. So it's good. It's good to be here. It's good to be here with you all. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And it's the first week this week of a new series, a new preaching series. You guys pumped for that? So we've been like all summer in this summer series where preachers basically just kind of went with it. They kind of preached what was on their heart. There was no like theme that we were following. But today we kick off a new series. It's called Know Thy Voice. Know Thy Voice. And it comes from a passage in John chapter 10, which says, and Jesus is basically, he's talking about livestock. He's taking us to the farm. Jesus takes us to the farm. And he's talking about the good shepherd. He's teaching about the good shepherd and the sheep. And it says, he says, the shepherd's sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd's sheep follow him because they know his voice. We need to know the voice of God. When we understand who God is and who his character is, then we get tuned in to his frequency. And when we get tuned into his frequency, to his voice, to his word, then the work of the Holy Spirit can begin in our lives. So tuning our dial into God's frequency makes our lives better. That's kind of like the idea behind this preaching series, is tuning our dials into God's voice makes our lives better. Knowing his voice helps us make the right decisions. It helps us be better friends, better kids, better parents, better employees, better bosses, better people. It helps us step into all that we're meant to be, all that God intended us to be. And so I'm believing that this series is going to be life-changing for each one of us, that God's going to speak. We're going to know his voice. He's going to speak through these weeks of studying his words, studying his character, studying who he is. And he's going to speak to each one of us. You believe that? It's good. Be expectant for what God wants to do in your life. I will put this little caveat on all of this, though, and just say it's not always that easy. It's not always that simple to know the voice of God. What does that even mean? And I find that the problem in my life is that there's just so much noise. There's just so much noise. There's so much static. And sometimes as we adjust our dial and try to, I know I'm giving radio references, which is like, who listens to the radio anymore? But as we adjust our stream or whatever, as we adjust our dial to try to lock into the frequency of God, maybe we're just off, but just a little bit. And so there's all sorts of static and other voices coming into our life. Does your brain ever feel like just a Twitter timeline? Just an obnoxious thread of just, I don't know, grossness going through your mind? Does anyone use Twitter? Okay, whatever. Don't go on there anymore. It's like, it's not worth it. But so the question is, what are the voices that you are hearing loudest in your life right now? Because it might be possible that we've got our dial tuned to the wrong frequency. So God's reminding us that his voice, and this is the title of the preach today, his voice is the voice of peace, the voice of peace. So when we've got the Twitter timeline in our brain, when we've got voices and static coming from all different directions, God's voice is the voice of peace over all of that. When we have voices of fear and regret and shame making all the noise, Jesus speaks clarity, he speaks purpose, he speaks identity, he speaks strength into your life. We just got to tune the dial. So Jesus is the peace that our souls long for. So we're going to hop into the scripture, but let me just pray. Lord God, we want to know your voice. God, we want to know your peace. When you speak, God, let us listen. God, I pray that you would stir up a desire in us to know you more and more each day. We give you all the praise, God. In your name, Jesus, amen. So there's this story in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. So you can flip there if you brought your Bible. Flip to 1 Kings. Chapter 19. Sorry, yeah. Let's get specific. And there's this story there, and it really struck me. It's kind of about the way that God speaks his peace into our lives. It's a moment when God shows up in the life of Elijah, who's a prophet, shows up in the life of Elijah when Elijah needs him the most and speaks life into him with just a gentle whisper. So basically, in the midst of Elijah's turmoil, God's gentle whisper brings peace and reignites Elijah's passion, reignites his purpose. So 1 Kings 19. Let me just give you a bit of backstory. So we cross paths here with Elijah, fresh off this crazy, amazing victory in his life. He's like, so in chapter 18, right before this, he's called this showdown, this faith showdown together, where he's going up against 450 false prophets of a false god, and they're basically fighting over the hearts of the Israelites. They're like, okay, 450 of you guys and your God, Elijah's like, me and my God, the God. He's like, okay, you guys pray all day and see if God can, like, take your, we'll accept your sacrifice, and I'll pray, and we'll see if God can accept my sacrifice. Whichever God, you know, will accept the sacrifice, that's the one that the people of Israel will bow down to. And so he's like got a lot on the line. He's like the last prophet left, and he is looking for a miracle, and God shows up. Long story short, Elijah wins that showdown, and so he's pumped. Like, he is on cloud nine. He's on a mountain. He's literally on a mountain, but he's like on the mountaintop, and it's a huge victory for him. An incredible moment for the people of Israel. And that's where we meet him, okay? So that's just lay of the land. He's coming off the back of that. He's got all the momentum in his favor. And then it says just in chapter 18, just the last verse of chapter 18, it says, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah. So God was with Elijah. God was with him. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And then skipping into chapter 19, it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger. She sent a word. She sent a voice to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them, one of the prophets, one of the false prophets. And it says, verse 3, this is important, says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. So there's this moment. Elijah's on a high. He's like, he's got the wind of God at his back. He's got the power of God with him. And there's this moment where fear rises up in him. The voice of fear becomes louder than the voice of peace. So what's interesting is to me is that as soon as Elijah senses the fear, it says he ran for his life. So he's running with God at his side, with God at his back, with the power of God. And then a word of fear, like a word that incites some fear in his spirit, and an about face. Like he's running away from his purpose at that point. That's the thing about the voice of fear, is that it aims to distract us and confuse us. It tries to take us off our mark. We can be running our race, living in the middle of God's purpose for our life, but how do we deal with fear? And how we deal with it will determine our trajectory. So when fear gets too loud in our life, it makes things fuzzy. It confuses things. So point one, if you're writing notes, it says, fear clouds our vision, but peace clarifies. Fear clouds our vision, but peace clarifies. Elijah's off the back of a massive victory. All of a sudden, he's running in the opposite direction than where he's called. He's off course. And when we listen to the voice of fear, it's really easy to get off course, really easy to get off alignment when we let a voice of fear dictate our actions. I haven't told too many people this, but I really love airplanes. And even airports, strangely, like, I really, really like them. And I don't know, it's just maybe my logistical brain or something, but like the way airports are supposed to work anyway, where everything flows together and like the times and the schedules and everything. Okay, so I love that stuff, but I love airplanes. Like, I'll even go on YouTube and like watch sometimes, like, amazing pilots. They like put GoPros in their cockpits and then like you can watch them land and take off in these amazing huge planes, and it's just like you get like the view. Like, I watched one going to San Francisco. It's like, oh, there's the bridge. Like, so I love airplanes. I love airplanes. And when I was growing up, we had Flight Simulator 2004 on our Windows XP computer. Do you remember any of that? Any of that stuff? So you could do real-time flights. And when I say real-time, I'm talking about, like, I would fly from Toronto to, like, Heathrow, and it would take 6.5 or 7 hours. Like, whatever the time is, I would just sit there and fly the plane. Don't think less of me. But the thing was, you had to take it pretty seriously, because if you're into it, because and like, follow all the directions and everything, because if your plane got even just 1 degree off early in that flight, like, if you got 1 degree off your course anywhere in that flight, you would end up nowhere near where you needed to go, nowhere near where you needed to be, nowhere near where you were supposed to be. And so every word of fear that comes into our life that we choose to listen to, every word of fear that comes into our life is just a crosswind that's taking us off course. Just maybe just 1 degree at a time, just 1 degree at a time. And then we'll end up far away from where we need to be. And if we don't have the right tools and the right instruments in place to course correct, to help us course correct, then, like I said, we'll end up far away, offline. The church is one of those instruments. The church is God's instrument for course correction. It's Bible-believing people helping Bible-believing people course correcting, iron sharpening iron, like getting connect groups, right? Like we're launching a whole new semester of connect groups. Get in connect groups. Get around people that can maybe see that you're actually operating out of fear in an area instead of operating out of God's peace. And we can just help correct each other a little bit. Church, the Bible, God's word. I think this might be the best tool we have for course correction. You want to know his voice, it's all right here. You want to know the character of God, it's all right here. His word, his voice, it's all the same. And as we go to his word, he speaks peace into the chaos. So how can you tell when the voice of fear has become too loud in your life? In John 10, verse 12, this is our like theme chapter. It says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Fear is like the wolf. Fear comes in. A voice that causes fear to rise up in you comes in, and it scatters our thinking. It scatters our understanding. It'll scatter our prayer life. Right? Like, suddenly I am way more focused on the thing that I'm afraid of than on the one who can take care of the thing that I'm afraid of. It scatters. It shifts our gaze. And that's why we need to worship. That's why we need to praise. That's why we'll harp on it all the time. We need to shift. We just need to course correct, shift our gaze back to the one. Back to the good shepherd. Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd's voice gives us clarity. The good shepherd's voice comes in when we're feeling confused, when we're feeling scattered, and gives us clarity. The good shepherd's voice helps us see things, see our situation the way that David did when he sang Psalm 23. Do you know that? Do you know Psalm 23? Let's throw it up. Do we have that? Let's throw it on screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. I love that last line. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. You prepare a meal for me as my enemy just stands around me. As these voices come at me, you've prepared a meal that I can just enjoy in peace. It's an entirely different way of looking at your situation. It's an entirely different way of looking at the world. It's a perspective shift. So when the fear gets loud and starts to make things cloudy, know that the good shepherd is always with you. He leads, he guides, he comforts. His voice is the voice of peace. Peace. So back to Elijah. This guy's still running. We left him running back there. He's probably very out of breath. So he's still running. In verse 4, it says, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. So he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. And then it says, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God. So we can tell here that Elijah's at the end of his rope, right? Did you pick that up? He's at the end of his rope. His language has changed drastically, and it's changed quickly. So just days before, he's actually, it says he was taunting his enemies on the mountain. He's taunting them. He's like, I am so confident in what God's got for me that I can make fun of those other prophets, you know? And his language now is totally different. Now he's asking God to be done with him. Like, he's so over this, right? You ever say that? I'm so over this. I've had enough. I think we have to watch our language. I think our own voice, so we're talking about knowing God's voice. We're talking about all these other voices that might come at us. I think our own voice is a really good measuring stick for the voices that we've been listening to in our lives. When we're listening to the wrong voices, it comes through in our language. I have to be really careful of this in my home right now because I've got a one-year-old and he's learning how to speak. And not really any words yet, but he's listening. He's always listening. He's trying to form language. And he's listening to everything Kat and I say. He's being a very good little sheep. So he's like, we want him to listen to us, obviously. We want him to learn how to speak and say his pleases and his thank yous. But the thing is, he's also going to learn to say all the bad things that Kat says. So we have to just be really intentional with our language. And not just what we say, but how we say it. Our tone. Like, if my tone around washing the dishes again is the dishes do not end. Why do I have to wash these again? If my tone is that, he's going to pick up that tone. He's going to pick up the tone of complaint. And so in a few weeks when he starts washing dishes, that'll be his tone. So we need to check our language. So Elijah's language had shifted dramatically. Now he sits in a place of despair. He's tired, hungry, thirsty, and feeling weak. He cries, I'm no better than my ancestors. And that line really stuck out at me. To me, that line sounds like a line that someone would say when they are listening to the voice of regret. I'm no better than my ancestors. It's hard to know exactly what he means. He might just mean like, my ancestors are dead and I should just be dead too. That could be it. But I was wondering if it's more along the lines of he was out to prove himself, like measuring himself against his ancestors. Like maybe he had mommy issues or dad, like we would call that daddy issues or mommy issues. Just like maybe there was a sense of abandonment when I'm kind of portraying this on his life. I don't really know. We don't know much about Elijah's backstory. I'm just saying when he says, I'm no better than my ancestors, it sounds like he regrets some things. He regrets some missed opportunities. He regrets some moments when he could have made a different decision to rise above his past, to rise above maybe where his family had set him up for. Does that make sense? Point two is regret keeps us weak, but peace strengthens. The voice of regret will keep us weak, will keep us in a place of weakness, but peace strengthens. Do you feel like that? Like that regret has become the loudest voice in your life? It can be a loud one. Fear can be a loud one. Regret can be louder. Like you blew an opportunity and that's all you can think about. I think missed opportunities are a source of some of our deepest pain and deepest regrets. So those words that you shouted in anger when you shouldn't have, or those words you should have said when you didn't, that spiral of regret, replaying a scene in your mind over and over and over. Listen, we do not want to listen to the voice of regret. We do not want to listen to the voice of regret. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Worldly sorrow brings death, but godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Does the distress in your life, does that feeling of regret, does that voice of fear or voice of regret in your life drive you to God or away from God? Elijah's sorrow had driven him the other way. He was afraid, alone, exhausted, and in this moment, everything seemed lost. He felt like he had failed. That's what I see. He felt like he had failed, like he had let people down, like he had let God down. But in this passage, God doesn't even address that stuff. God's voice is peace. His method is grace. He's so gracious. Honestly, like look at the passage again. In this moment, God gives Elijah exactly what he needs. He comforts him with his presence. He gives Elijah food and water and sleep that will strengthen him. Sometimes that's all we need, people. Food, water, sleep. How many of the bad decisions that you regret were made when you were tired? How many of those arguments you get in with your spouse or when you guys are hangry. Hungry, angry, hangry. We got to take care of physical needs too. That's why I love that backpack drive. Like, we take care of people's physical needs, things that they just need in place in their lives. We can clothe people and shelter people, feed people. It's actually a spiritual transaction. We have to see it through that lens. It's a spiritual transaction. Peace. God speaks peace. So what could have been a place of death and decay for Elijah becomes a place of rest and renewal and life. God speaks peace to weary bones. Let's get the keys up. As God speaks peace, he's turning regret into a place of opportunity. A place of lost opportunity into a place of opportunity, of new opportunity. God speaks peace over your regret today. God also speaks peace over your shame. Shame Shame and regret will try to keep us in a place of defeat. And the enemy would like nothing more than for you to have this hopeless, helpless, separated from God feeling. But God is a God of restoration. He's a God of renewal. The Bible says he's always making all things new. Point three is shame shouts defeat, but peace whispers purpose. The voice of fear is going to try to scatter you and so that you become misaligned with where God's got you going. The voice of regret is going to try to keep you down and keep you weak and keep you stuck in the place of missed opportunity. And the voice of shame tries to fill your head with lies about who you are, who you aren't, who God is. The voice of shame tries to tell you you're not good enough. You're not worth it. You have to earn God's love. They're straight up lies, but they get so loud in our lives sometimes. So loud. It says in the passage, verse 11, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out to stand at the mouth of the cave in the presence of God. There's been a lot of times in my life where I've been stuck with the heaviest feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation. An earthquake of shame rocking my world. A hurricane force wind of guilt blowing through my mind. Fires of condemnation burning up in my soul. But every time, God is so faithful. Because then comes the gentle whisper. Every time. A gentle whisper, you are loved. You are mine. He says, you are found in me. You are not your mistake. The future is bright. The future isn't defined by your sin. I washed that clean already. I covered that already. I sacrificed for you. Reminding me with a gentle whisper, a calm voice, a peace. That he made me with intention and purpose. That he made you with intention and purpose. And no voice of fear, no voice of regret, no voice of shame can come between you and the Lord Most High. None of it can come between you and Jesus. He's the good shepherd. That's what we're going to learn about over the next, few weeks. He's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He leads them. He doesn't drive his sheep with a rod and a staff from behind yelling directions. His rod comforts. His rod directs. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The gentle whisper. The voice of peace. So today, it's an opportunity for all of us. If your heart is reaching out to know the peace of God, to know God, to invite him into your life, to declare him over your fear, regret, and shame. Today's an opportunity. So if you want to bow your head, close your eyes. There's an opportunity right now to respond to what Jesus is speaking into your heart. His voice doesn't have to be loud because there's so much power in it. Those other voices come at you so loud. They bring so much noise, so much confusion. But they have to be loud because there's no power in them. So they just raise their voices up loud. But the gentle whisper of God has all the power that we need. So right now, if you want to entrust your life to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in a few moments, I'll ask you to raise your hand. You might be here today and you've never done this, never made a step to give your life to Jesus, never prayed a prayer that turned you towards Him. Or you might be here and you have prayed that prayer before, but you've been running like Elijah in the wrong direction. You've been letting other voices rule your spirit. Today, Jesus is calling you back to Him to restore and give rest for the weary. Or maybe you're here and you just have no peace in your soul, like no assurance that when you pass from this life that you're going to be with Jesus. Today is that day of assurance. So if you're any of those three people that you never prayed the prayer, you've prayed the prayer, but you've been turned away, or you just need assurance that God is with you, then take this moment, take this opportunity that's right here in front of you, right in this moment to raise your hand. Come on, if that's you, just raise your hand.